24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, NYCVirtualOffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000 or online at nycvirtualoffice.com. It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is that you are. You are listening to Unbecome Spiritual Expansion on BashaniRadio.com and worldwide on iHeartRadio. My name is Holly Noonan. I am your host of this show. And here on Unbecome, we have conversations on consciousness, helping you unbecome everything you're not, everything society taught you you were that you actually aren't. We help you unbecome all of that and live your most congruent, authentic, empowered life. Today, we are back again with the amazing, stunning, so deeply impactful Miss Sabrina Lawton, all the way from the US. For those of you who are Aussies who listen to this, we have a US guest. I know most of you are from the US or from the UK and other places around the world. And for those of you who missed our previous interview around about a month ago, about four episodes ago, if you haven't already heard that interview, I urge you to please be a blessing to yourself and go and listen to that. You can scroll down on the website and you can find that. It was called A New Way of Understanding God. And today we have that same incredible woman here with us to share another message around how to heal from emotional pain. You know, so often we can get stuck on our journey of awakening. We can get stuck at a particular level of consciousness because we are anchored to some emotional pain that we have experienced and haven't yet resolved or haven't yet been released from. And sometimes that's only because we don't know how. You know, we want to do it, we want to clear it, we want to be free of it, but we simply don't know how. So I believe that this topic is something that really could be transformational in your life. So as you sit here, don't just sit in here. You know, there's a very big difference between hearing something and receiving something. Allow this message to touch you, allow it to change you, allow it to shift you, and just open the whole of your heart and the whole of your being to the incredible impact that this lady has. And if you are there with us, Miss Sabrina, I would love for you, you know, some of our listeners would not have heard from you before, and although they might go back and listen to our previous interview, if you could just spend a couple of minutes, you know, highlighting in a nutshell what your journey has been like so that they can even, you know, receive even more from you because they understand the source that this information is coming from. If you're there with us, please say hi and I will hand over to you.
Hello, Holly. I am so glad to be with you. I am Sabrina Universal Lawton, and I really come to you all as one who has experienced trauma. So I am the founder of Evolve to Love. It's a spiritual advising organization. And I came into that organization because I truly needed my spiritual solutions. And so I built an organization founded on the principle that every problem has a spiritual solution. I work with individuals to help them unpack and discover their solutions. And so my beginnings began very humbly, growing up really with not much parenting, having to navigate my way through life. I ended up in corporate America, so I was in the corporate world for about 16 years. But there was a longing deep inside of me for something more. I wanted to provide others with a pathway to really understanding their true calling in life. And that's what I do today. I walk individuals through their story to get through the source of their pain, their emotional pain. And oftentimes we find that our emotional pain happened during our early childhood years.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I know you have a really deep message for us today. So, you know, if we can, let's get straight to it. When we look at the topic of how to heal from emotional pain, and, you know, I know you, as you said, you know, you come from a background of extreme trauma. I remember you speaking on our last interview about how you were sexualized as young as 5 years old and, you know, experienced a whole lot of trauma in that area of your life. So, I mean, where does someone even begin? Like where, you know, when someone's sitting there in the midst of their pain, maybe it's from childhood, maybe, and what I find, and I'm sure you find it too, is that quite often life will give us an immediate circumstance that we think is causing all the pain. It could be a loss of a career. It could be a divorce or the end of a relationship. It could be, or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, some kind of illness. And it evokes all this pain. And we think all the pain I'm experiencing right now is because of this divorce, or it's because of, you know, losing my career, or, you know, my plan not going to plan, whatever that may be. But what I found through my work, you know, similar to yourself and the people I coach and work with, is that quite often this experience right now has only been a trigger for the unresolved pain that you've always held on to. So what you're feeling right now isn't just because of the immediate circumstance. It's actually, you know, happened on behalf of you to be able to help identify some older baggage that you're carrying that's associated. What's your take on that, and how do you, you know, how do you see that?
Absolutely, Holly. To answer your question, it does begin with identifying the source of your pain. What is your story? What is your story behind that pain? And oftentimes you have to start at the very beginning. How did you come into this life? What was your experience as a child? A teenager, you know, an adolescent, you know, what was your child? What are your memories? This is so critical because the mind is a video recorder, which simply wants to replay its experience.
I love that.
Yeah. So just as you were just alluding to that, you know, you think that the pain was the divorce and you think that the pain was the loss of the job, but if you peel back the layers and you go into the depths of your story, what you're going to find is that the experience that you're having in the now is a reflection of the same emotion that you felt in your past. And that's what we want to heal. So that's the starting point, is really identifying your story, making peace with your story, coming to reliving, so to speak, the emotion that took place in your story. And it's great when you can do that with someone else to bear witness with you to your story. Another good way to do that is through journaling. Sit with yourself in silence and stillness and write down, how did I feel and who made me feel this way?
Right.
And are the emotions that I'm still carrying today? So for me, for example, when I was growing up and I was sexualized, there was a program written on me. You know, we have to look at ourselves as computers here.
Yes.
And our brain has the computer, the software, you know, we're the hardware.
Yes.
The spirit's the hardware, but the brain is the software. And so what was downloaded into the software? What was downloaded into my software was that, you know, I was only good for what I looked like. I was sexualized. So that was where I thought my value was. And so I would recreate experiences, even traumatic experiences, through adultery and other behaviors, like getting into relationships that I knew were not healthy for me. And for a long time, I couldn't understand that behavior. And as I went through doing my work and really tapping into my spirit and getting to the source for why I had those experiences in the first place, I was able to recognize that that was simply a program that I had to go through the practice of hitting the delete button on. I was not my body, I was spirit. And then going about the work of, now that I've deprogrammed, going through the work of reprogramming to truth and to love.
Right. And you know, that's something I love how you ended that about reprogramming, because you know, I say the same thing, that in order, like you say, we're our brain is a computer system and we've had the software installed on us, but you can't run two softwares at the same time. You have to uninstall, you know, the operating system before you can, you know, reinstall a new one. You can't run Windows 98 and Windows XP at the same time. You have to uninstall 98 in order to install, you know, Windows XP and have a new operating system, a new story, a new belief system that you can operate from. So do you believe that also? And if so, how step one then would be, you know, unprogramming, deprogramming, deleting, like you said, that old software that you have that's outdated. How does someone go about that? If that's the first step, how do they go about releasing the story? And, you know, you mentioned journaling. Do you have anything specific in terms of the way they should write in the journal? Anything, you know, in terms of, I mean, for me, I get my clients to do a lot of, write a letter to their five-year-old self. So they speak the letter in third person. Is there anything like that that you would suggest?
Absolutely. I believe that that's a wonderful technique. Another wonderful technique is just to do exactly the write-up of your memory. It is right. really, really important to write it up as you remember it. This is how yes. I felt when. This is yes. critical, because then you get to feel those feelings again. And unfortunately, what happens is when we don't feel those feelings in a safe place with an intention of healing, then we carry those emotions with us throughout life. And yes. so the practice of truly saying, this is how I felt when, is going to help us to have all of that come to the surface, come up and out through what I call detoxing tears. And then after we've done the detox, then we want to write a new story. We're going to tell a new story about what is truth. Right. And what we're going to find is that what is truth, let's look at, for example, for me, if I was sexualized and part of my program was my mother wasn't there and she told me I wasn't good enough and she was emotionally abusive to me. The truth was, my mother was dealing with her own pain. She was doing the best she could. Given that she did not love herself, how could she possibly give me what she was unable to give herself? That's the truth of the story. If she had known better, she would have done better, but she did not. And so really take another look at the story and look at it through the lenses of love. So on the one hand, you have the story as you experience it emotionally, and then you rewrite the story through the lenses of love and through the lenses of compassion. And what that does is it sets you up for the next step, which is the process of forgiveness.
Beautiful. Wow. Okay. I love that. So look at it through the lenses of love. Okay. So let's say someone's sitting there right now, and I just want to go into this just so that we can give as much value. I know you and I are so aligned in our, you know, in the amount of value that we want to be able to provide to people and have our message heard. So if someone's sitting there right now and, you know, by no mistake at all, they have crossed paths with this interview and they're, you know, as it always is, everything shows up right on time. And so they're in the midst of some pain. They're going through a circumstance at the same time. It's bringing up stuff from their past, helping them to mirror what's already in them, etc. And they're sitting there. Okay, they go and do their journal tonight, let's say, or over the next couple of days, and they feel the pain. They put themselves back in those memories so that they can, I remember, you know, you can't heal what you won't feel, right? I remember you said something similar to that last time. So they go back and they feel it, which helps them to, like you say, to really bring it up and, what did you say? Do a detox through tears. I love that. Yes. Right. So yes. They cry for the next couple of days or whatever it might be until that feels like it's over. Then they go back and look at it through the lens of love. Then what? What if they go and they try to look at it through the lens of, how do you do that? Let's say that their experience has caused them so much pain that they're so angry, they're full of resentment towards that person who violated them in that way or whatever it could be. How do they see it through a lens of love? How do they diminish the resentment and the criticism and the judgment or whatever it was that they felt and the anger and sometimes the hate that they feel towards that person in order to be able to take the lens of love?
Absolutely. You know, taking the lens of love requires responsibility. Now, if we unpack that word, we all have a responsibility, the ability to respond to life.
Right.
Good, bad, or indifferent, it is our responsibility.
Right.
So the question is, what is the consequence of not seeing it through the lens of love? If love truly covers all transgressions, and if love is in fact the highest vibrational frequency that there can be, that exists, then what is the consequence of not looking at your story through the lens of love? You know, it's often stated that holding anger and unforgiveness is like cutting yourself with a knife and looking at the other person to watch them bleed.
Yes.
So the question becomes, am I ready to live? Am I ready to love? And am I willing to do what it's going to take? And it is not easy, right? You know, and everything in nature that happens, it doesn't happen through an easy process, but that means we can handle it. That means that our spirits are greater than our flesh.
Right.
If you look at the process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, do you think it's an easy process for that caterpillar to be tight and try to break free from that cocoon in order to get to its next level and evolving? Not at all. But it has to get through this uncomfortable space. So in this space of how do I do it, taking responsibility, you must know that life begins at the end of your comfort zone.
Right. Okay.
So be willing to be uncomfortable. Be willing to stretch yourself to look at and put yourself in the other person's shoes. So if it was a spouse who hurt you, write out the story of how you met that person. Write out the story. And again, this is the beginning of the story. What is the truth? What does it look like?
Right.
And leading up into that person, that relationship ending, what you will more than likely find is all of the resentment that you might be holding. You actually saw signposts along the way for the experience that you ended up happening. Because we all
and that hurts, that gets heavy, that becomes a heavy burden to handle, because like you say, if you're willing to see that, then you're forced to take responsibility, which is why so many people, you know, choose to play the victim game. It's a whole lot easier to be a victim because then you're not responsible for anything.
Absolutely. And to that point, this is why even when you unpack the word forgiveness, just for the sake of giving, Forgive forgiveness for your own life. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for yourself.
What would your message be around that? Because, you know, and I'm saying this for the person out there who goes, oh, yeah, I've heard these cliches before. They sound real cute, but, you know, they don't really work, right? Who is stuck in their pain, okay? So, I guess I relate, because before I was free of my pain, for a while I was stuck. And in that stuck place, you know, there was this stubborn part of me that I don't even want to forgive. It was like, okay, I want to be free of the pain, but I don't want to forgive. Then I had to unpack that bag and say to myself, why don't I want to forgive? And I had another story attached to forgiveness, right? So I'd unpacked my life story that you mentioned earlier, which brought me to how I was feeling. Now I can understand that. But then I went, okay, so why can't I let go of this? Why don't I want to forgive? And, you know, it really came to two reasons. Number one, there was a story written on my programming system about forgiveness, that when you forgive someone, you make it okay. That you let them off scot-free. You know, that you shouldn't really let people trample all over you like that. And if you forgive them, it means you've made it okay what they've done. And I had to do work undoing that belief system around forgiveness before I could even step towards being able to forgive. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And let me tell you why that is. If you are the computer running the virus, does the computer really know it has a virus, or is it thinking that it's doing just fine?
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes when we're running with our virus, this is how we know ourselves. This is how the computer knows itself, as the virus.
That's
until
right.
Until someone else or some intervention comes in to send new programming into the computer, a new download to say, no, you're not functioning correctly. Let me show you another way. And right. I believe that this is what, you know, Unbecome and the work that we're doing is about, is showing people another way. Yes. and definitely using our own experiences of how we've transcended our story and we've come to forgiveness by looking at it another way, not just relying on the virus that was written in our own minds.
Yes.
And that requires us to go to the bigger space. We often think we're our minds, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Book of Life, absolutely. The Book of Life says that there is a war between the flesh and the spirit so that we are not able to go about doing the good that we are called to do in the earth.
Correct.
So if we unpack that, the mind is a part of the flesh.
Absolutely.
And so in the space of forgiveness, that's where we go beyond the flesh. And we recognize that as a spirit, I am here now. If I am attached to the thing we call God or love or the universe, The universe has no beginning and end. It is not a universe of time. We created time.
Right, yes.
So what we want to do and what I would offer for people who are really stuck in that story is in the past. And let me give you some examples of how dangerous it is to live in the past. Number one, there's a reason that the rear view mirror of our car is very small, but the forward facing mirror is very large. If we tried to drive forward and move forward in life looking behind us, we would surely crash.
100%.
Absolutely. So that's just for glancing back and getting information for how we're going to do the now.
Yes.
And now there's another spiritual explanation for why living in the past is so very dangerous to our souls. Mm-hmm. And that is, if we look at that word live, okay, the English word live, if we spell that backwards, if we live backwards, what do we get?
Evil.
Absolutely. Now, we've all lived backwards before. Mm-hmm. If you write down that word lived, and you look at it backwards, what do you have?
Devil.
Absolutely. Now, why is this? It's not coincidence.
Right.
Okay. This is not coincidence. So it's very important for us, if we want to connect to source, if we want to connect to what we call God, that is always here now. That is why it's called the present or the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's look at that word now. If we look at the word now, it actually spells three different words. The one is now. The other is one, W-O-N.
Yes.
And the next is own, O-W-N. Right. And what I like to say is that when you are in the now, you have one because you own it.
Wow. I felt that. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
That is so true.
So a mantra I want to lend to those who are in the process of working through forgiveness is to really ask yourself, where am I? The answer being, here. What time is it? The answer being, now.
Now.
What am I?
This moment.
This moment.
Oh my gosh, that's The Peaceful Warrior, right?
Yes.
Oh, I love that movie. Yes.
So a wonderful woman shared that with me. I believe it to be a powerful, powerful mantra.
Yes.
To really come to what's really important. So you ask me, you know, how do I forgive? How, you know, when a person wants to be stuck in anger, understand the universal law surrounding that. That will quickly awaken you to say, I don't want to live from the frequency of this virus anymore.
Right.
I want to live instead from the now.
Yes.
And what you're going to find is when you live from the now, you would ask yourself, is that person hurting me right now in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
The answer would be no.
Right.
Can I live right now? Can I choose an action of love for myself right now? The answer would likely be yes.
I love that.
And that is the practice for healing, for forgiveness.
And you have to be aware, right? You know, we talk about, you know, for every force, there's an equal and opposite force. That we have God and the devil, we have spirit and ego, whatever it is people, you know, like whatever titles they like to give those names. But isn't it true that as soon as you start stepping into your power, you know, there's always some level of attack. It's almost like ego goes, whoa, hang on a minute. You're healing. Hang on. You're forgiving. You're freeing space. Hang on. Let me, you know, ego loses its identity if you don't live through it anymore. And so it tries to maintain its territory by creating some other story. And that's what it did to me. I started to forgive. I remember this so distinctly. And I started to really, truly, I could feel this release happening in my soul. I could feel this space opening up for me and inside of me. And then I got the next story. So once I realized that, you know, forgiving people wasn't making it okay, and it was, then what happened was, I started to feel powerless, right? But it wasn't me. It was just, you know, the story that ego was selling to me that I bought in on for a while. What I realized was this the story that I had been running up until that point in my life, and this is where I had identified myself with it, which sometimes we don't realize, and it had given me so much power, meaning it was what I used to access love from others. It's what I used in conversation to access someone else's energy, to have their attention, to have them feel sorry for me that I'd been through that, to have them be amazed at me by how I handled that. Wow, what a strong person you are. And then this part of me, this bullshit story that came in from ego saying, well, if you forgive, therefore, if you're going to forgive, you can't run this story anymore. So now, because if this is in your past, it is in your past. Therefore, it can't be used in the present with the words that you use. And so then what reason will people have to love you? Then what reason are people going to have to care about you or to tell you that you're a strong person? How are you going to illustrate your strength then? And so I literally, as I was moving into my power, for a while, I got pulled back by the next story. Like ego stepped up and played the most A-grade game against me so well, I didn't even see it coming. It was such a subtle little, you know, strategy that it used. And before I knew it, I heard myself speaking about it and using it, you know, as my power. It's almost like, no, this story was my power. And me believing that kept me out of my true power. So what do you have to say about that? Because I know when people start going, wow, this has hit me, this has resonated, you have just spoken words that have, you know, completely infiltrated my soul and arrested my spirit, Sabrina. So I'm going to do this. And they start the process and they do the journaling and they begin forgiving. And when they feel the pain, they put themselves in the present. And then a week later or 2 weeks later or a month later, they it's like you didn't even realize you'd regressed the last couple of weeks, but one day you notice it. And then it's easy to then buy into the next set of emotions, which is guilt and sabotage and how stupid am I? I was on the right path and now I lost it all, etc., etc. And there's this little cycle of these two forces at play with each other, this spiritual warfare going on. What would your input be to that, and how would someone handle that? Because it's not just going to be, okay, I'll decide to forgive and, oh, cool, I'm all forgiving, I'm all great, right?
Right, exactly. It's a great question. And, you know, I would start by saying this. Everything is energy, and energy never dies. We call that spirit, right? So if we look at evil and the devil, what is that really saying? It's saying energy that's lived backwards and that's gone to the spirit realm. So you or I, given whatever our pathology is, and the listeners, there was an emotion. There are energies attached to your experience. These traumatic and painful experiences that we're talking about are all built up emotions, built up energies within our being, okay? And if we break down that word emotion, we're going to get exactly that, energy in motion. That is what the word.
Oh, I love that. You are so good.
Wow. So absolutely. So what we've got is we've got energy in motion. And if we have been carrying this spirit energy and it's been a part of us, rest assured, when you start to tell that energy you don't want it to live inside of your being and your temple anymore, it's going to basically say to you, well, where the heck am I going to go? Because I've been living in you all that time and I'm really not looking for a new home. And that's that ego struggle that we're talking about. You know, for me, I was always running when I was a child. I was running from pain. I was running from fear. I was running from some sort of trauma. I was alone. I was sad. I was always running. And how that looked for me as an adult was that I was always rushing, feeling like I wasn't going to make it in time. Like, you know, yes. I was running out of
time. Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. Yes. Wow. Right. And so I would end up doing silly things like getting into a car accident. That's big. A lot of people will get into little fender benders, one person car accident, maybe burn themselves on accident because they're really running from something that doesn't exist. But because that energy is lodged within them and they haven't really gone through the work to process it and understand what it is, then they continue to run from the tiger. And so my mantra for myself to tell myself, come to the present moment, Sabrina, recognize that there is no tiger. And so if ever I find myself moving too quickly, I remind myself that there is no tiger. There's nothing chasing me. I have all the time in the world. And so you actually have to start talking back to that energy.
Yes.
And blessing as it goes. Really saying to this energy now, recognizing that this energy is actually a field of it. This emotion is a field of energy. It is a being all to itself that has resided within you.
Yes.
It does not need a new home.
Right. That is so good. We are so aligned. I love speaking to you. We could do this like for so long. But I had a background in basketball. So the way that you say talk back to that voice, for me, I played a game of basketball with that voice, with ego. And I would be like, okay, in order to win a championship, you got to have your champion on the court. You don't get to win championships unless your champion players are on the court. And ego needs to be on the bench. Here's the thing. I know ego is always there, that energies, I'm always subject to being exposed to, you know, that lower vibrational energy. So I can't say it's not part of the team, because it is. It creeps in on us, and it is something we always have to be conscious of. Ego, it's not that ego is not part of the team. It is part of the team, if you like, or it's on. But I make sure that I act as the coach, the consciousness that I am, acts as the coach and keeps ego on the bench. And when that sneaky little bugger sneaks his way onto the court, and I realize I just got to drag his ass back to the bench again. So I play this little game and I'll be like, there you are. I see you. I see what you're doing. Go ahead and play your best game, mate. I know you better than you know yourself now. So go ahead and play. I'll just smash you again, you know? And so I play this little, because I have a very competitive spirit. So I like to be in competition. And as soon as I realize ego's in the mix, I almost have learned to thrive on that. You know, I now say that opposition, anything that opposes you, including this energy that works against us, opposition is a sign that you're in position. If the power against you has to be equal to the power that you are, like every force has to have an equal and opposite force, then I can, sometimes I haven't realized how amazing I am until ego showed up in full force. And I'm like, whoa, this is a big distraction. Geez, thanks for the compliment. If you're matching my power, then wow, I must be of huge power right now. And I never realized that. So thanks for identifying that. And I would play this little belittling game to ego, very condescending type conversations with ego to go, wow, you know, I remember right before one of my biggest speaking moments, literally 2 days before, and my dad was diagnosed with bowel cancer so bad that they're saying they're going to literally, you know, operate next week and all this. And, you know, it would have been completely accepted of me. Everyone would have accepted if I hadn't have spoken that weekend. If they had, you know, hey, Holly, absolutely, it's no problem. You know, family's first, you know, just I hope everything's okay. Don't worry. It would have been so easy and so socially accepted to not step onto that stage. But I knew that the power that was against me was equal to the power that was within me at that time. And I knew that the message that I was going to have that weekend, you know, to over 200 people was obviously going to be very transformational, very impacting. And it was, it was the beginning of so many things for me. And, the evidence I saw that day, I had physical evidence that I couldn't even argue about how impactful my message was and about how necessary it is for me to stand on platforms and have my message heard on a bigger scale, because I saw the evidence. So it was so many things that weekend, but the biggest attack happened, we're talking 48 hours before it. So, you know, I love how you say, you know, talk back to that voice, and I play this little game. But yeah, I love that, you know, I just kind of like to throw my own experiences in there so that people know, you know, you and I, we're not here because we're some kind of professional we still have our journey. And even though we teach on the journey, we still have the journey, right? I still get got by ego sometimes, or I still get got by that, you know, rubbish little small story. You know, these days it won't get me for a week. It might get me for a day or for a few hours. But, you know, we never arrive. It's the holy grail, right? We're ever evolving.
We are ever evolving. And it's a process of continual blossoming and blooming. And as with anything that blooms, there has to be a demand placed on the soil. And so what you're referring to, yeah, in order for you to be fully who you are called to be in whatever moment. For you, it was the speaking engagement. You know, for me, it's my work as a spiritual advisor and really listening to and hearing the stories of the people that are called to my path so that I can look for the virus and we can do some reprogramming. I had to go through a whole lot of virus, a whole lot of demand on my soil so that I could learn how to really be present with others to help them to blossom and bloom. So absolutely, we are speaking experientially, and experience is in fact the best teacher.
I love that. Wow, I love this, Sabrina. We're going to do this again in another 4 weeks' time, right? We promised the audience. And, you know, I had people respond to me saying, wow, I love the interview. Are you definitely going to interview her again? I had people come to me saying that. I had about 10 or 15 messages in the first couple of days after that went live. And, you know, some people that I didn't even know. I didn't even know how they know me. I clicked on their social media profiles and they're not even my friend. I don't think I typed them in yours. They're not even your friend. I'm like, someone must have shared something and the message got to the right person. And, you know, it's fantastic to be connected with those people now. So, you know, I want to thank you for the value that you bring to this show, that you bring to my life personally, and the value that you put on display and on offer for all of those who want to feed from the nourishment of your fruit. I thank you so deeply.
Thank you so much. Space, and thank you for to the audience as well for being wonderful listening ears.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Now, before we you know, wrap this up, I always like to let those I interview finish with the last message, you know. So whatever it is that's on your heart that you haven't had a chance to speak yet, whatever's on your spirit, even if it's unrelated to the topic that you and I thought we were going to talk about today, sometimes spirit has a whole bigger plan than our plan. So if there is anything that you would like to leave us with, you know, please let me make that space available to you, and I'll hand over to you.
Awesome. Thank you, Holly. First, I would like to say that the truth will set you free. Freedom comes by shining a light on the dark places. Oftentimes, we feel like if we cover it up because what we've experienced was too embarrassing, it's too depressing, we don't want to get anyone in trouble. There's all of these reasons that we make up in our minds for why we want to hold our experiences, our painful and traumatic experiences, into the darkness of ourselves. When in actuality, what heals us is to shine a light on the darkness by getting it out of our being, speaking it out into the universe. And what happens when we speak it out into the universe, we shift that emotional energy. And what you're going to find is that you've created new space in yourself for healing. You're going to feel freer. You're going to feel lighter. And what you're going to find is that that darkness that you thought was so scary is actually like a dark cloud. It might look very, very scary and very, very dense, but in actuality, all you have to do is simply wave your hand, and that cloud has no weight. In fact, it disappears. And the sun is shining right there for you to see. As you know, the sky is always blue. So remember that. Remember that the sky is always blue, and that darkness is simply the absence of light. Find a way to shine a light on your experiences and know that you are not alone. This journey, as spiritual beings having a human experience, is exactly that. The exercise is really for us to transcend the flesh by coming to the now and knowing that whatever happened to us in the flesh, there is nothing new under the sun. And our powerful, powerful spirit, your spirit, has everything it needs to transcend what occurred and to help others to do the same.
Wow.
So lead with love.
What a note to finish on. Sabrina, thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Wow.
Talk to you.
Absolutely. And you know, for those of you out there listening, as I always say, you know, this whole journey, it takes courage. It takes, you know, courage. Vulnerability is what gives courage its name. You've got to be willing to be vulnerable. You don't need to know how, just like you don't need to know how to forgive. You just need to be willing to forgive, and the universe works the rest out on your behalf. So, you know, courage is the main thing. The courage to question your story, the courage to, you know, go back into your pain, not with the intent for it to hurt you and to burn you even deeper, but this time with the intent for it to heal you. You know, the courage to be able to step forward into what would be an unknown world for you for a little while. Everything takes courage. So please, as you depart from this audio today, depart from here with courage. The courage to believe in a better way. The courage to voice what you've got to say. The courage to thrive when times are tough. And above all else, the courage to know you are good enough. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, nycvirtualoffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000, or online at nycvirtualoffice.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.